how is minimum stock level quantity calculated? So minimum level is equal to reorder level minus normal consumption per day into normal delivery period in number of days. If the replenishment of stocks does not happen as planned, then the stocks dip further below the danger level. So minimum stock level is the danger level. At this point, in addition to expediting fresh supplies, issues of material are also rationed. An item is tracked under controlled environment and efforts for replenishing it is obviously increased. Danger level, average consumption per day into maximum reorder period in days for emergency purchase. Like minimum level, you also try to have some maximum level, because beyond this point the holding cost increases dramatically. So maximum level is equal to reorder level plus reorder quantity minus minimum consumption into minimum delivery period. So if the stocks cross this maximum level, you re-examine your inventory usage assumptions and to check if average consumption of an item, and you reset inventory levels. Mostly this situation arises on receipts before the due dates for delivery. Reorder level, when a stock of an item reaches this level, arrangements have to be initiated for replenishing through release of fresh order for a predetermined quantity. The reorder level is calculated by the formula maximum consumption per day into maximum lead time in days for replenishing the order. EOQ, the concept. So in a fixed order quantity system, when inventory reaches a reorder level, a prefixed quantity is ordered. This is most widely used means for determining how much to order is the economic order quantity model. The EOQ is a continuous inventory system, a good starting point for balancing conflicting inventory holding cost and inventory ordering cost, and finding the best cycle inventory, that part of inventory which varies with order quantity. EOQ is a lot size that minimizes total annual cost of holding while ordering the material. However, there are some assumptions in the concept of EOQ. One of the assumption is, the first assumption is the demand rate for an item is constant. Second assumption is there are no constraints in determining the lot size of the order. Third is decision on order quantity of item X can have no effect in deciding the order size of any other item to be ordered on a vendor or on a factory. There are only ordering and holding costs to be considered, and materials are delivered per agreed lead time in a single lot. So these are the assumptions. They not necessarily hold true, and therefore even EOQ you have to be careful while using it. So this is how it is. On the X axis you have the order quantity, on the Y axis you have the cost. You try to order at a level where you have a minimum total cost to get the optimal order. So most of them work on this formula and arriving somewhere close to an economic order quantity. So EOQ is equal to 2DCOPC, where D is annual demand for the inventory item, CO is the ordering cost per order, P is the unit price, and C is the inventory holding cost in percentage terms. This is the economic formula for this. Is EOQ the only order quantity? So EOQ determined as above need not always be the final quantity that the business unit utilizes. It can be modified, and when the vendor offers significant price discount for increasing the quantity purchase, the EOQ may have to be increased to avail of such lower price. If the order size is constrained by capacity limitations such as the size of business unit processing tanks or amount of testing or delivery trucks, the annual demand divided by EOQ may not result in whole numbers. So it could be in decimals, that has to be modified. The vendor may also stipulate a certain minimum order quantity. If that exceeds EOQ, then you have to change the EOQ. Transportation costs are high if the vendor is far off, obviously. Hence, you also may have to rework on your EOQ basis the transportation cost. In case of items which require licenses and if they are needed to be imported, then these have to match the kind of import license that one has. So use of EOQ is justified when you make to stock strategy and the item has relatively stable demand. It is also recommended that when a business unit observes that the carrying cost per unit and setup or ordering cost of the unit are known and relatively stable. The best part about this is the EOQ, although used very extensively, was never intended to be an inventory optimizing tool. However, to arrive at a reasonable lot size for purchase of an item, it is a helpful tool. How we decide whether to accept quantity discounts? Important question from a finance point of view. So while deciding whether to revise EOQ to accept the quantity discount offered by any supplier, we have to recognize that there is a saving due to discount in the purchase cost. There is another saving in ordering cost, as the increased order quantity would result in lesser number of orders per year. But there is an increase in inventory carrying cost as we are ordering large quantities. So one compares the first 2 points against the third point, and if there are savings, then we accept the demand, the discount, and if there is no saving, then obviously we don't accept it. When we apply for EOQ formula for determining the most profitable order quantity, we assume that the price per unit is constant throughout the year. But in Indian economy, the price always increases because of inflation. Therefore, if the rate of inflation can be predicted with some degree of accuracy, the EOQ formula can be applied with one modification. You can readjust the annual cost by deducting the rate of inflation. So inflation increases the unit price of item held in inventory, and it also increases the percentage of inventory holding cost. ABC analysis. So inventory of an organization are not of equal value, all inventory obviously. Hence you try to group them into three category, which is A, B and C. So A items are very important, although they may be very few in number, but they form the large part of total consumption. Because of high consumption value or volume wise, frequent analysis is required to note any major variation, and therefore you have to plan for an appropriate order pattern to avoid excess inventory. Example is there. So 70% of value, 20% of the item, and 20% items have 20% value with some items, and 60% items have only 10% of value. So B items are important but less important than A, and C items are many, marginally important, but they form only the average 20%. So a set ordering pattern can be planned for each of these analytical items. Obviously, the advantage is that you focus on main areas, main items, and therefore you don't spread yourself thin or over analyze certain items, and at the same time you ensure that the items ordered balances the cost of carrying it. The downside, of course, is that data has to be right, and segregation is little rough. It has to be, you may need to add more classes from your business unit, and if there is a major price variation, analysis may have to be carried again. And very important, it is not about value always. Sometimes lack of C item can actually stop the whole production. For example, if you need a screw and if the screw is not there, then the entire unit is incomplete because you are waiting for the screw. and screw in value terms could be a C item. Therefore, classification has to be very, very important and has to be done thoroughly, ensuring which are the critical path items which are non-negotiable. This is an example of how you can break up. So one of the objective, of course, of ABC analysis is also you can use supply chain methodology for the A class item. So for class A inventory, high level of control is exercised by the senior management. Very low or nil safety stocks are there. Rigorous value analysis and daily reviews are done. Planning is based on accurate data. You try to find out more and flexible resources, sources from where you can get these items. Centralized purchasing and storage can be thought of. You can try to reduce the lead time, and you try to take precise forecast from marketing department for items which require this kind of inventory. For class B, you can have a moderate control. You can set up a periodicity for follow-up. You could have a low safety stock. You do normal value analysis. You plan with normal lead time, and you try to combine purchase and storage. For C class, which is huge, the business unit can afford more buffers in safety stocks because the price is not very high, and you can arrange their bulk purchase once or twice a year. So because the price is not high, you can have more buffer. Aging schedule of inventories, that's one other way to manage inventory. So inventory items are classified according to the number of days of their remaining in stock. This method helps to identify the movement of inventories and apply varying degrees of management focus accordingly. Sometimes the analysis is also known as FNSD analysis, where F stands for fast moving inventory, where you require full management focus. N stands for normal moving inventory, limited focus. S for slow moving inventory, nil focus. D for dead moving inventory. This class is mainly identified for the purpose of taking disposal decisions. So FNSD. VED analysis. So this technique is ideally suited for spare parts inventory management, like ABC is used for inventory management. So stocks of spares are classified into three categories on the basis of their usage. V for vital item, you scrutinize it very frequently. E is essential item, you set up some periodicity for its scrutiny. And D is desirable items, you don't need to have very much scrutiny of it. HML, this is one more analytical method, where H stands for high value of inventory, medium value and low value, and instead of annual usage, here the individual price of an item is the criteria for applied for classification. Methods of valuing issues. We could have an option to use a typical method for pricing inventory issues which suits our business and objective. Inventory valuation methods are used to calculate the cost of goods sold or materials issued from stock and cost of end inventory. If the change in prices at which we receive the materials are not significant, each method will provide with more or less identical result. However, if the price increase or decrease in much variation, there can be a pronounced difference. We have to always remember that the method we decide to adopt for pricing issues has no actual relationship with the actual physical movement of items. Physically, oldest item in the stocks are always issued first to ensure stock on hand is fresh and obsolescence is minimized. Different methods which are available to us for pricing include FIFO, first in first out, LIFO, last in first out, average price and weighted average, actual price, replacement price or current value, standard price or standard cost, and inflated price. So let's look at each one of them. FIFO. According to FIFO, It is assumed that the items from inventory are sold or issued in the order in which they are purchased or produced. This means that the cost of older inventory is charged to the cost of goods sold first, and the ending inventory consists of those goods which are purchased or produced later. This is most widely used method for inventory valuation, and in the economy with rising prices, which actually is a normal trend in India, this method understates the cost of sales as replacement are at a higher price than that used in cost of sales. In the last in, first out, the LIFO method is used to place an accounting value on the inventory. While valuing issues under LIFO, the last price paid for the item available in stock is applied. If one were to use LIFO in inflationary situation, the cost of most recently acquired inventory will always be higher than the cost of earlier purchase. So your ending inventory balance will be valued at earlier cost, while the most recent cost appear in the cost of goods sold. By shifting high cost inventory into the cost of goods sold, a company can reduce its reported level of profitability, thereby defer its recognition of income tax. Since income tax deferred is the only justification for LIFO in most situations, it is banned under international finance reporting standards, but it is still allowed in United States after the approval of the Internal Revenue Services IRS for US. Example, receipts 321. Under FIFO, the issue value would be in the same order, which is 321. However, under LIFO, it will be 1, 2 and 3. So to remove the vagaries, average price and weighted average price methodology is also proposed. So under average price method, the issues are valued on the basis of simple average price. The price of purchase prior to any issues are added, and average price is calculated by dividing the total value by the number of price used. Issues as well as stocks are valued at this average price. This method has one advantage, and that is it's easy to use. When price fluctuates, the method does not provide a true picture, as prices are not weighed by the quantities purchased at each price. So therefore, weighted average price comes into play. So here the issues are valued on the basis of weighted average price stock from which the issue is arranged. It is realistic, simple to operate, and reflects the price level, resulting in stabilization of cost. As it reflects the actual cost, it is being used by most business unit and is also acceptable to the income tax authorities. Actual price methodology. In this method, actual cost price of purchase is charged to the materials to be issued from the storeroom. The method is of use when the purchases are made for specific project like spare parts or special dies, jigs and fixtures or special purpose equipment. Usually a separate ledger is maintained for each purchase, and issue from this quantity are valued at the purchase cost price. In jobbing industry, when few costly items or non-standard components are purchased to meet production requirements against a specific customer author, orders, this method is most appropriate. Replacement price or current value. It is also known as market value method. When adopted, the issues are priced not at the rates at which the stocks were purchased, but at the current market price of the item on the date of issue. The principle is that materials issued for sale or production of any job on a particular date should be charged at the rate at which the material consumed could be replaced immediately from the fresh purchase. This ensures that the costs are current and the profit indicates correct margin on the transaction. The price at which these materials were purchased, either higher or lower, has no influence on reported profits. This method is normally used for materials of standard grades which are traded at commodity exchanges such as cotton, cereals and certain metals for which prices are published in media. It obviously has two advantages, main advantages. It considers current market price for materials, thereby reporting current material cost. The second advantage is it enables comparison of operating efficiencies with those of competitor. But obviously it's very difficult to get market price every time materials are issued. Under inflation, stock on hand is understated but overvalued, requiring write-offs if prices were to fall. Standard costing or standard price. So standard costing is a practice of substituting an expected cost for an actual cost in the accounting records and then periodically recording variances that are difference between expected and actual cost. This approach represents a very simplified alternative to cost layering systems such as FIFO and LIFO methods, where large amount of historical cost information must be maintained for items held in stock. Here are the potential use for standard cost. It can be used for budgeting, inventory costing, overhead application and price formulation. Under this method, most realistic price to be used for pricing issue is predetermined after considering all the economic factors, that is market condition, usage rates, market trends, etc. So unless there is a major change to any of these factors, this rate, normally known as standard rate, is used all through the accounting period. Material receipts are recorded at actual cost and issues are priced at standard rate. The difference between the two is charged to material price variance account. This account is also known in accounting terms as purchase price variance or PPV. The net balance to this account at the year end is charged to income statement directly. Thus, the amount does not form part of the production cost. If the standard prices are determined with required accuracy and market price behavior stays anticipated when the standard price was fixed, the PPV balance at the end of the accounting period is not a concern. However, if these conditions do not exist and PPV balance is significant, then net income figures ceases to be realistic and this can create audit and tax complications. Inflated price method. In this method, the purchase prices are inflated by a certain percentage and used for issue. This percentage takes care of losses that occur during processing on account of theft, obsolescence, breakage, evaporation, etc. In an industry where the material wastage in a process is say 10%, inflated price used for issues will be 10% or more. The use of inflated price method has resolved the problem of how to account for wastage by spreading the same evenly over the total production. The success of this method again depends on how correctly the wastage percentage is determined for inflation of the price. Just-in-time inventory management. So JIT, as it is popularly known as, was designed for Toyota by a Japanese and now enjoys universal acceptance. Business entities which are adopting JIT have reported significant reduction in the inventories to net sales ratio, some very significantly. The JIT inventory management is part of the total production concept that interfaces with the total quality management called TQM. JIT requires management to ensure three preconditions. One, quality production that continuously meets the customer requirement. Two, close ties among vendors, manufacturer and the customers. Three, close monitoring and reduction in lead times all over. Fulfillment of all the above conditions leads to reduction in inventory levels. The environment in which JIT operates is that normally the suppliers are generally located in close proximity of the manufacturer and therefore it helps the suppliers to deliver inputs in small batches at frequent interval. Manufacturers also reduce number of vendors as the vendors are assured of higher volumes and enter into long-term attractive contracts, eliminating complexity of ordering, invoicing and disbursement. Up-to-date computerized production and inventory data is available on the terminals of both the manufacturer and the supplier. In addition to lesser investment in inventories, JIT allows the party to reduce floor space required for operation, therefore minimizing one-time and recurring cost of operation. JIT also believes in elimination rather than detecting defects and these cost savings need to be recognized by financial analyst. It is important to note that JIT is compatible with EOQ system. The focus is to balance reduced carrying cost from maintaining less inventory stocks with increased ordering cost. With annual contracts and online material management, cost per order is on the decline. So this is how it is balanced between liquidity and profitability. To summarize, after trade receivables, inventory is another major but less liquid component of working capital. It takes three forms: raw material, work in process and finished products. Traditionally, the inventory management responsibility was with marketing, production and financial departments individually. However, now a supply chain concept approach is taken so that the organization overall gets benefit of managing inventory. In spite of the fact that the funds get locked in inventory, there are certain business pressures that encourage build up of inventory, and those are on demand deliveries to customer, fear of stockouts and resulting production stoppage, and desire to reduce number of orders and anticipated increase in prices. Management goal is to place orders in such a way that the cost of holding and ordering inventory together are minimized. EOQ is one method or technique for this to happen. The three categories of techniques used to manage inventory within acceptable limits is ABC method, where A, managing stock levels and order quantity; B, classifying inventory items for different degrees of control; and C, keeping appropriate inventory records for control. You have other type of analysis called the VD analysis and HMN analysis, again for how much control and which stocks to concentrate on. You have an option to evaluate inventory. Either one can do FIFO, LIFO, average price, weighted average price, actual price, replacement price of current value method, standard price or standard cost method, and lastly the inflated price. JIT as a concept, just in time, was actually designed for Toyota by the Japanese, and now it is universally accepted in all manufacturing unit at least. Business who have adopted JIT have seen reduction in inventory to net sales ratios very significantly. JIT is also part of the TQM, which is Total Quality Management methodology, and it ensures the management quality production that continuously meets the customer requirement. It ensures close ties among vendor, manufacturer and customer, and close monitoring and reduction in lead times all over. So with that, we come to end of this segment on inventory management. Thank you.